We finished our series on 1 John, and for this term, we were given the idea of preacher's choice, which I have to say, as a preacher, I always find a bit of a challenge. A personal thing, I prefer to be given a title. Otherwise, you find I always preach about the same subjects, and it's good to be stretched. But anyhow, as Philip said, that's what we're thinking of doing this term. I said, fine. And a couple of thoughts came to me. One is, what is church and why are we here? And then I thought, we're talking in the context of this church being called to prayer about the future of the church, its ministry, and the future of paid ministry within this church. And at the back of my mind were these questions: who are we and why are we here? And Jeff, bless him, as we were talking about this a couple of leadership team meetings ago, we had a conversation about prayer in the church. We don't just talk about gas bills and things like that. We actually do talk about things that matter. And we were talking about prayer in the church. And Jeff challenged me. He says, let's do something different. Let's not just do the usual Oaks reaction and teach about it. I thought that was good. That was a challenge to me. And I thought, yes, Lord, you're right. So we said, and this is really context for our visitors, for 1 week a month, we will not have house groups. We will meet together to pray. And for the month of April, that's this coming Thursday. So there are no house groups this week. We will be meeting together on Thursday to pray. And as last month, we'll have an evening session at 7 and also a lunchtime session at 12:15 downstairs in the church lounge. Please come along. And that then started me thinking, why is corporate prayer so important? There are just under 40 of us here this morning. What's the difference between 40 of us taking a topic, going into our own private room and praying about it, and all of us meeting in the same room to pray about the same thing? Because there is a difference. There is a difference. They are not the same thing. And that question has been sat in the back of my mind, along with the question of how do we pray when there are 40 of us? Sue touched on this last week. If I was to take you to a church in Gulu, and there'd be a couple of hundred people there, and said, right, we're going to pray about X. Then the tradition there is everybody prays at once. And I confess, I find that really hard. I find that really hard, because that for me is no different from 40 people in 40 rooms praying at once about a subject. Isn't culture wonderful? So the question then is begged, how do we pray when we are 40 of us together praying about something? I'd like us to start by reflecting for a few minutes about the church and what it means for us to be church. And our reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 23. Ephesians has been called the epistle of churchmanship. And in it, Paul shares some of his highest thoughts about the nature of the church. And he starts in this section. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked not only in the present age but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I'd like us to reflect particularly on that last verse for a few minutes. We talked about this, I mentioned this question. This is the question which is sat at the back of everything I want to say this morning. It reminds me of a church I used to attend or go to, belonged to, I didn't just attend, I belonged to, when I was at university. And I've honestly got to say, their prayer meetings were the most exciting meetings of the whole week. That church, I don't know how, but they'd learnt how to pray together. If you went into one of their prayer gatherings and listened, you could hear a conversation going on between the Lord and his people. And it flowed. And I suppose, you know, I was quite a young Christian then. I'd been a Christian about 2 or 3 years. And I rapidly came to think, this is normal. There was such a sense of God's presence. There was flow and conversation, and there were answers. Wow, were there answers. One of the things that struck me about this church is it wasn't always praying about its own people. It was focused outwards. And one of the things they used to say to me was, Richard, you're going to come into this prayer meeting with your head full of all sorts of clutter and things we could quite legitimately pray about. But what does the Lord want us to pray about tonight? And sometimes we have to exercise faith to leave some things on the shelf and not feel we've got to cover everything in the prayer meeting. And they seem to have this ability. They'd learnt how to focus on the Lord's agenda when they prayed. And as I say, the result was it was the most exciting meeting of the week. So what is church? First of all, in the Bible, the church is never a building. In our culture, unfortunately, too often, it's just a building. In the scripture, the church, church is never a building. It says they met in homes. They met in the temple precincts. They probably met outside under a palm tree or a date tree. But never a building. And I remember when I first became a Christian, being in a church context where they had some real challenges with their building. And it came to dominate the whole conversation. God forbid that we ever get to that place. Right? We are custodians of this thing, but this place is our servant, not our master. When the Bible talks about church, it talks about an assembly or company of people or a congregation. The most common word uses ecclesia, a called out gathering for a specific purpose. We are God's called out people. That's actually quite central to Baptist ecclesiology. We are a called out people. When Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, "I'll build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it," he uses this word, ecclesia. Paul uses this word, ecclesia, here in verse 22, when he talks about Jesus being the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we are a community. We're a community of people, and central to community is this whole idea of relationship, of people who know each other, care for each other, and interact with each other. We are a community related to Christ, and we are a community related to each other. And without one, the other is meaningless. One of the things which our current culture is emphasizing more and more, and we need to be careful, is that they're saying religion is very much a personal thing. It is you and God. It's so you sit in isolation and reflect on God. Now, there's a place for that, don't get me wrong, but that is an incomplete, and always will be, an incomplete expression of what it means to be Christian. And it will never be an expression of what it means to be church. It's important that each one of us has our own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and that we live that relationship out. It's important we read the scriptures. It's important that we pray. It's important that we serve. It's important that we witness. Yes, but it's also important that we come together to do things as well, because it's as we come together that church starts to find its expression. Paul calls the church the body of Christ. There are many descriptions of the nature of the church in the New Testament. But this one, the body of Christ, is the one that is most common and seems to be most developed, particularly in Paul's thinking. We see it in 1 Corinthians, in Ephesians, in Colossians, this whole idea of the body of Christ. A friend of mine once said, "Do you wonder if he ever sat down with a doctor like Luke?" And in the midst of a flow of conversation, someone said, "You know what, this church thing that you're talking about, Paul, it's a bit like a human body. It's full of bits that are all essential and all necessary for each other. You know, what's the last bit of the hokey cokey? You put your whole self in and the whole self out." Somewhere elsewhere in Scripture, the church is just talked about as the bride of Christ. It's talked about as the family of God. It's hinted, it's almost got some aspects which are a bit like an army. But we feel uncomfortable with that analogy in this, in our current culture. But this one, the body of Christ, it seems absolutely central to Paul's thinking. In the passage we read together, Paul talks about his unceasing prayer for the people of God in Ephesus. And his prayer seems focused on this: they might know who they really are. See, it's all about identity. We hear a lot about identity politics in this day and age. And it's really important that as the church, we know who we are. We know what it is to know Jesus. Paul says, I pray that you might be filled with hope. I pray that you might understand how important you are to God. And I pray that the Holy Spirit might inhabit you so that you know this person, Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus. So that you might know not just gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but the risen, ascended, all-powerful Jesus, who is the source of all authority. Paul talks about Jesus, the risen Lord. He said, I pray you might know him. And I pray you might know him as the one who's risen from the dead, having all authority and power. That's a challenge. Because we think and we pray a lot about how much Jesus loves us. How often do we sit there and reflect and meditate upon the power and authority that God has given our Lord Jesus in his resurrection? And finally, Paul says, remember, this risen Lord Jesus is the head of his church, and that church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is a wow verse, to use last week's message, to quote Sue from last week. Sit down and think about that for a minute. The church is the fullest possible expression on earth of who God is and of who Jesus is. And we're his body. We are there to declare and to demonstrate who he is. And there is one enormous implication from that passage that we read together. I can never be church on my own. All right? If you think I can be Christian and experience and explore all that there is to be experienced and explored in being a Christian without commitment to an expression of the body of Christ, you're wrong. It's the church that is the fullest possible expression of Jesus and our God. Let me read you another passage, which is, in effect, Paul saying the same thing in Colossians. which was written very much at the same time as Ephesians. And funnily enough, it's exactly the same passage. It's chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Listen to this for a wow passage. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's the end of verse 21. Same theme as our Ephesians passage echoed. Now I want us to think about a moment about head and body. What happens if you slice me through there? If you separate my head or my body from my head, I die very quickly. I want to say it is vital that if we are to be the body of Christ, that we stay connected to the head. Otherwise, we'll be as dead as a doorpost very quickly. How do we stay connected? The body is made up of all sorts of different systems. There is the nervous system that transmits instructions. There is the circulatory system. All sorts of it. I never studied biology beyond third year at school. We stopped after sex education, and that was it. I didn't do any of the interesting stuff. All sorts of systems. But all of them seem to be about connecting these different organs that make up the body to each other. I want to suggest that the way we as the body of Christ stay connected to Christ, our head, at least has some aspects of these topics here. We worship together. And the key word here every time is together. We worship together. We learn together. We listen together. We ask together. We seek God's will together. We serve together. And we fellowship together. That is how we keep ourselves as a body of congregation of God's people connected to the head. Now notice, I haven't said the word pray in there. Well, actually, a number of those together make up what we call prayer. Worship, listening, asking, seeking. Listening to Sue last week, serving. All of those make up different aspects of prayer. Every time you worship together with the people of the congregation, of the people of God, and we worship in spirit, we are building and hanging on to that connection between the body of Christ and the head. Every time we learn together and we grapple and struggle with Scripture, we are hanging on to the head. As we listen, as we ask, as we seek. Now, there are many opportunities here at Oaks to pray together. And let me just be very, very, you can all heave a sigh of relief. I don't think anyone expects everyone to be at every opportunity. But we would strongly encourage everyone to participate in at least some of them. Right? Some of us are in paid employment, so it's not realistic to turn up to Zoom prayers on Friday morning. Some of us have childcare responsibilities, so evenings are precious and challenging. But I really would say we need to search our hearts to find out how I participate. In the process of Oaks Baptist Church building a strong connection with our head. Right? That's a responsibility of all of us. And every time you take part, whether it's in a house group or in Zoom prayers, or you come along to prayer and communion on Sunday evening, or you pay close attention and say a loud amen to the person leading intercessions, we are all building that connection to the head. And remember, if we separate the body from the head, we're dead. So in Colossians 2:19, Paul talks about a group of people who have lost connection with the head. He warns about the consequences. Now, my prayer is that every one of us would know a thriving relationship with Jesus, that we experience his felt presence, and that together we declare and demonstrate the power and authority and love and joy of Jesus Christ. But if we don't keep that connection with the head, what we will end up with is a hollow philosophy and ideas from the world, and the church and Oaks Baptist Church would become nothing more than a social club. We must never become a social club. So my exhortation to you this morning is that you would participate at every opportunity that you can in strengthening the connection between the body of Christ and our head. And I pray that you will think hard about how the Lord is calling you to do that. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you, the head of the church. Thank you that there is nothing which we can bump into as your church which is outside the scope of your authority or your power, your wisdom, and your intervention. So, Lord, we come and pray that you would show us individually how we are to contribute to making and building that connection with you. And Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit working in each one of us, you also would build that connection. We want it, Lord, to be strong in this place. Father, we pray that your word would sit with us and be able to reflect on it. And together, we might give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.